Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local pubcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
Can I have a Bounty Bar Martini?
Cheers. Offer to Mulva.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Rob.
Are we all right?
I'm all right.
Yeah, good, mate.
You guys all right?
Superb. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you, Mark.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Are we going to keep going around like this?
Yeah.
Are you all right?
You still settling into the new year all right?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I've been up to, shall I, for the new year?
Why not?
So, as you know, I didn't get out much over Christmas and New Year because of working and DJing. So me and my son went out, Ethan. We thought we'd go and have a few drinks in Sheffield. Fine. We thought we'll not be late.
Hold on. When were this?
After New Year.
Oh, after New Year.
Yeah, because I don't get a chance to go out. So
right, yeah. I like how you just said, fine, so it's just going to go downhill, isn't it?
Yeah, it went fine.
So we're fine. We went to have a few drinks, nice and steady. We said, "Oh, we'll not get last train home." Oh, fine, okay, no problem. So
we'll not get the last train.
We'll not get the last train because we always tend to get the last train home, and we don't want to because we'll end up getting.
So you're
drunk.
Just going to get a taxi.
No, we're going to get an earlier train.
The train before the last train.
Oh, right.
Okay. Because they don't just do a last train and then no trains before it.
Yeah.
They
do. Otherwise, that would be the last train.
The whole point of not getting the last train was to stay out late and not go home earlier.
I'm not
surprised it was a shit night.
No, we went out in the afternoon. We started in the afternoon.
Right, okay.
So the idea was to get that sort of train maybe about 8 o'clock. Right, okay. Because it's every hour.
Right.
So, fine. So we had some drinks. Anyway, we said, well, we'll get train at 9:30. Started walking to the train station. Ethan's like, hang on a minute, I've lost something. He'd lost his wallet.
Oh, no.
Right, okay. You know, fine, let's go back to the last place at pub. So we walked all the way back to the last place for pub. Luckily, somebody had handed the wallet in, and there was money still in it, which is usually...
Nice.
People usually take the money out and then hand the wallet in. But fine, you got that. But
Did then they? We... I can't say I often lose my wallets for making that assumption.
Well, that's what I do when I find wallets. I take the money and I'm joking. For the benefit of the tape, I don't do that. So we got the wallet back, but then we missed the train. We couldn't get back to the train for 9:30. So the last train was 10:30. So we were like, right, fine, no problem. So we had a few more drinks, but then, of course, we're a bit more drunk, if you like. I'm really tired and stuff. So anyway, we get the train. We got on the train absolutely fine at Sheffield. Now, my son lives at Swinton. I live at Mexborough, right? And he stops one stop before me, and it's literally 2 minutes on a train, probably less than that. Mm-hmm. He gets off at... Yeah, okay, Dad, yeah, see you. He gets off train. I should be getting off at Mexborough.
Oh, you fell asleep, didn't you?
I fell asleep. Fell asleep.
Where did you wake up?
Well, I ended up in Doncaster, so it could have been a whole lot worse. But that was the last train.
Oh.
So I'm like, oh, I'm now going to get a taxi. But I got off the train, obviously, and I'm like, but the thing is, when I got off the train, because I was a bit groggy, I was like, I didn't know where I were. I'm like, where am I? I thought we were at Leeds.
Jesus.
I know, and only for like a couple of minutes. Anyway, I was at Doncaster, but then I had to get a taxi home. So
how long did it take you to realise when you opened your eyes and like kind of looked round and sort of and realise how long? Were it like you first of all thought, oh, I'm all right, I haven't missed my stop, or did you instantly wake up and go, I've buggered here?
Because it terminates.
The train stops.
I just imagine someone waking him up.
It is a good job.
Excuse me, sir.
Woke up in Cleethorpes.
End of line.
you're in London.
Can you imagine? Yeah, it terminates because it's one of these, you know, like shuttle trains that go backwards and forwards from Doncaster to Sheffield.
So have you forgiven Ethan yet for losing his wallet?
Well, I could blame him. But the thing is, he was trying to keep me awake before he got off the train. He's trying to show me stuff on his phone, saying, wake up, Dad, because I'm nodding off then. But he should have really stood me up, really, as in stood me up on the train and
kicked you off at Swinton and walked over.
Were you that hammered? He had to stand you up.
Well, I don't think I was just tired. You know, my age, I need a...
He could have said, Mark, stand up. Dad, stand up.
Well, they could have done, but, I mean, he didn't. So, let's blame Ethan. But no, it's not his fault. So I ended up, I get a taxi home. So that sort of... I mean, as you know, that annoyed me because I had to spend money on a taxi. Bear in mind, I'd spent £2.80 for the train. I were fuming. I even kicking off with taxi driver. Do you know how much I've got to pay for you to get back? He's like, not my problem, mate.
Absolutely.
I'm going, there's no trains, everything. He's like, you know. Anyway, so that's my little story. That's what I've been
up to.
What
a wonderful start to the new year, is it?
Says you, Mark.
But do you know something? The only time I've been on a train with you, the first one didn't turn up.
That is very true.
It's like a common recurrence.
When were we going to podcast awards?
Yeah. Oh, really?
We get the train from Mexborough to Doncaster. Didn't turn up.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's my fault.
It's like the travel company or the train. It's trains, isn't it?
It's trains, yeah. Oh, it's not me.
New. Mark coming.
But I got you to London, though, didn't I, from Doncaster? Well, not me, but I didn't drive the train. Said,
it's a good job, really.
Although it's an easy job. Let's not get on train drivers. But I got you to London cheaply.
What have you been up to with Mark?
So I've been out walking. You know, I said I was going to give myself a bit of a shake and go out and start getting in a bit of shape again.
Were you drinking whilst you were walking?
No.
No? Okay.
No, it was an hour and a half drive to get there. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where did you go?
So we went to...
A pub.
Actually, we did on the way back for something to eat.
I knew there would be a boy involved somewhere.
Walk and not stop at a pub.
Absolutely. So we went just on the inside of Staffordshire to a place called Thor's Cave. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah. I've never actually walked to it, but I know it.
It's incredible.
Is that the name of the pub?
No,
it's the name of the cave.
Yeah. There's got a pub in here.
No. So you go through like Bakewell, Buxton, out towards Ashburn.
Is it near Blue John Cave? Is it near that one?
Oh.
I've not been to this one.
On the same island.
Oh, okay. You nearly had me there, Mark.
But I would recommend if you need some sort of confidence to, because there is a bit of a climb up into the mouth of the cave, if you like, and then you can go in and have a scramble around and stuff. We scrambled back out of one side. It was quite icy. So people were coming back out and they were sliding, they were falling over, and we were like, right, okay. We're going in. We've definitely got to go in, but we'll try and find a different way out. So we found another way out, and then we ended up scrambling up the side of the hill that goes up the back of it. I was blowing. My chest were pounding. I have never felt so old.
When you say scrambler, have you got equipment on, or are you just in your
just boots and gloves and outdoor gear? Oh, okay. There's no rope or anything, but just scrambling.
Really?
That's how I felt when I did Three Peaks and that last. Is it a hill or a mountain? It is a mountain, isn't it?
Yeah. They are classed as mountains, yeah.
I were blowing on that one. So
That's Inglebrook, last one.
Yes.
That made me cry.
Did it?
It made me cry. Inglebrook.
Yeah, I think
I did it. Yeah. I'll still stand there. I can go on my gravestone if you want, but it made me cry, that one.
Sort of takes the edge off it. If you do it in like summer months or warmer months, when you get to Inglebrook and the queuing to get up it, and you're like, I've got a queue to climb this.
It's mad, isn't it?
Because it's become that popular. Yeah, walking.
It weren't queuing when we were there, but I weren't going up it any faster than I would be if it were queuing.
Right. I remember being stood looking at it, and I was with Suzanne at the time, and I just said to Suzanne, I just literally started like tears in my eyes. I said, I can't do it. I can't do anymore. I can't do it. It's just literally, she went, that's fine. If you can't do it, that's fine. To get to the campsite, we'd walk round it. Or to get to the campsite sooner, we go over it. So it's up to you, but you'll be at the campsite sooner if you go over it. So that's what made me push on. But yeah, I think I was sobbing all the way up, and all them flies were buzzing around. And,
oh yeah,
very much.
Everyone like midges and that on that one, weren't they?
I was just chuntering all the way up. Go for a walk, they said. Dude, let's climb some mountains. They said it's good for you. They said there were a lot of people laughing at me that day. They really were.
This cave then, Mark, do you have to pay to get in this cave?
No. There's no one on there. It's not like a barrier system or anything like that. It's just a natural formation inside of...
Well, I get that, but you know the cave at Matlock that you go up on the cable car for?
In Heights of Abraham.
Matlock Bath. There's a cable car, isn't there?
Yeah, the Heights of Abraham.
Yeah, the Heights... You've got to pay to go in there.
I know you do.
That's why I asked you about that. Because I might go to that one because it's free.
Yeah.
So that's why. I'll drive even further to get
to... Do me a favour. Video it.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll do that. Okay. We only did probably half the walk because when you walk up to the cave, there's two walks you can just go up to the viewpoint above it or you can go into it. You can do both of them, obviously, but then there are some steps down into what's called Manifold Valley.
Okay.
And it's high. So I'm reckoning it's got to be a couple hundred steps down and then a walk across down the side of a river, and it looks gorgeous. So that the next time we go, we're going to do the whole shebang, but it's going to be a full day of that, I think.
We should all do a walk, shouldn't we?
Well, this is what I'm coming to, because we've all talked about trying to do a little bit more, get out a bit more. I know Kirk's on his challenge to shed 5 stone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I've been saying, oh yeah, and we always find an excuse not to, you know.
So you think we should do Three Peaks then, yeah?
Hang on, slow down.
No,
we're joking about
Nationals or Yorkshires.
I'm worrying about
neither.
Yorkshire.
Right.
But no, we're joking. I'd do one of them.
I'll be honest with you, the conversation is already occurring amongst a few of us already doing the Yorkshires again.
I mean, for something for us to do, just because I'd like it to end in a pub.
They all go to a pub. They all do. You drive back, get to Bakewell. It said, we drove on the way as we were going the other way and on this pub, and it said, it's like a list of what food they're serving on each day. And a bit of a marketing thing, I suppose. Burger Thursday and whatever else. Fish Friday, so we're like that. Ooh, fish and chips. We'll have fish and chips when we get back. And we went in, looking at menu. Darcy had fish and chips. Me and Ellen had steak and ale pie and chips. It just took us fancy.
I'd rather have a pie, me.
A nice cold pie rather, and cider.
Yeah.
It were just cooked through lovely when you know.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, absolutely, we should do some walks. Whether it's regularly, you know, semi-regularly, whatever. I'm going to be going out a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a few of us.
I love walking.
Seb's going to get out and do some walks with us and Rackham and
I enjoyed Ellen. It when I did it more. I did enjoy it. I'd be lying if I said I didn't, but it's that starting again, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's that starting again. You know, like, I know we went not that long ago. I know it was a few months ago, but not that long ago. And a walk that I've done at least maybe two or three, maybe four times before. And I struggled just to get even up the first, although the incline was different. We went a different way.
It was a lot more aggressive to start on that one.
I thought I was going to die. But I then start to feel bad because I start to feel as though I'm holding people back then and, you know, I'm messing it up for other people and stuff like that. So, as long as we start off gentle and with plenty of time, then to get back
I'm
into
up for that.
It. Because the thing is, you go again and you start going again. If you have a bad experience, it puts you off.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Doing it more, doesn't it?
Yeah. So have either of you two been up to anything over this last week or so?
I went to a board game cafe in Sheffield.
I've heard about
a few
this.
Days ago. It's called the Treehouse, and it's in Sheffield. It's got some fantastic beers on. They must have had nine.
You
different,
went to play board games or get drunk?
I ended up doing both. They must have had nine craft beers on, including stouts, sours, IPAs, you name it, they got it.
Wow.
They do food and cakes and teas and coffees. But
cakes?
They do
in a bar?
They do everything. And then also, obviously, the main part of it is that you've got a wall that's very much like a library of board games, card game, you name it, any game, they've got it. Games that take range anywhere from, it says somewhere, I'm sure it says anywhere, from games that take anywhere from a minute up to 6 days.
Oh, that's a copious amount of
six
drinking.
6 days? What, you're going to, what, you get locked in?
Well, you'd have to go back and play it, or you just take a picture of where you left off and do it next time. Because there are games that take so long.
I love, like, Monopoly. I love games like that, mate.
Yeah.
I do. I really
I'm not
do
as keen on games that take
6 days.
6 days. Mm-hmm. But games that do have a length to them, but you've got to invest a lot of time into understanding the rules for those sort of games. Yeah. They're not games you can just pick up at a board game cafe when you've booked in for 5 hours.
What's your favourite board game?
Do you know, it's funny you should say this, because I half expected that someday we'd have a podcast about games in general.
That's a good idea.
I don't know if you want to save it for
that. In your head, you're going like, oh, we need to save this.
I don't want to answer that question.
I'm going to scupper you.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, I need time to research. favourite board game? Okay, it's a little bit generic.
Okay.
But I genuinely Ludo. Do...
Snakes and Ladders.
I genuinely do love it, because I know the rules very well. Monopoly. Mm. I know it's very... But I love it.
Yeah.
I love it if you're playing with everybody on the same... That's in the same mindset. So I think a game that takes a bit more, like, let's say, brain power or thinking or strategy, for instance.
Yeah.
There's nothing more frustrating, Mark, than...
me?
Other one.
Thank goodness for that.
There's nothing more frustrating than getting really into it, and you might be 45 minutes or an hour into a game and, you know, you've really put some thought into what you're doing and stuff like that, and then one person around the table gets bored.
Yeah.
And before you know it, the whole game's... And honestly... It causes me anxiety.
Yeah.
It causes me anxiety in the sense of, right, are we playing or are we not?
What does he do though when he gets bored?
He's board flipping over, his table going, chairs through window.
You know, like when you start getting houses and hotels and whatever, I start playing Sabutio with him.
Like, oh, dear. Oh,
I just get a bit... Okay. I think it's all right if there's good conversation going up around the game, but if you're just playing the game, I can get really bored, really. Well, like I can with most things, I get quite... fidgety.
Attention
span. He did it once, right? I had a poker night at my house once. I'm going back years, right? Years. Yeah. And we had his poker night and had arranged, I think there were about maybe six of us, and we'd all paid, had agreed that we were going to pay 20 quid each in, you know, and we were going to have a night of it. Yeah, just, you know, there might have even been eight of us. You know, it was all organised properly. I'd got a board, I'd got some proper chips and stuff like that. You know, got some snacks in, got some beers in and stuff like that. We all chucked this 20 quid in and it all started absolutely great. Absolutely great. Just stood to play. But then, after about, you know, it probably lasted about an hour and a half, you started to see him. You started to see him lose focus and lose interest. And what I was trying to explain to him was that we were playing for real money.
Yeah.
We was playing for real money. So we was playing for maybe 160 quid. People had put their own money in. But he'd gone past that point. He'd gone past that point.
I know you just know.
Yeah. Can I just ask as well, were the other guys, were they serious as well for this?
Yes.
Right, and it's just Mark that's going off.
Yeah.
Right. So, right, okay. Okay.
So yeah, it ended up just being the couple, everyone took the 20 quid back and that was it. It was the end of the game. You know.
But what were you doing?
Messing around.
I don't want to say that he started cheating because it's not cheating. It's not cheating, but it's just...
either cheating or it's not cheating.
No, because he wasn't doing it to try and win. He was doing it to try and be funny, or he was doing it to try and get a laugh, or he was doing it so when you were trying to turn a card over, or for instance, you know, you were waiting for the river to turn, he'd just reach forward and flip it over and, you know, before people had bettered or whatever, or, you know...
Did it end up in fighting?
No, God no. Because at the end of the day, that's just Mark. Yeah, I'm not saying anything bad about it. I'm not saying, you know, there's no malice intended. There's no reason for that.
I have gotten better with age. But it's marginally.
It's just that focus, that attention. Not attention to detail, sorry. The attention...
Span,
thank you.
Attention span.
Yeah. That attention span. Attention deficit.
Yeah.
But like, I could quite easily sit and play a board game for hours. As long as everybody around the table
is engaged,
was just as invested.
Yeah, it has to be.
Anyway, the tree out. Are we going to say, Matt?
Yeah, I was just going to go back when you were talking about Monopoly. The thing with Monopoly is there's so many different levels you can play it at, isn't there? There's like, and there's so many variants on the rules.
I was going to say, people play slightly different rules.
Some people
don't
charge
they?
Rent, some people they remortgage, and all. There's all sorts of things you can do within the game, and
there is only one set of rules.
When you land on your property, you've got people going, he's on your property. Don't tell him.
But
that's not in the rules, is it? There's no rules to say, don't tell the other player. But you'll get people going, don't tell him, and you're getting, I'm losing money.
If you like land on the community chest, or the one where you've got to pay a tax or whatever,
chance
in the middle,
you put it in the middle, and if you land on free parking, you get the money.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a modification on the rules,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
but there is only one set of rules, isn't there?
There is.
I highly recommend it. It's really good. It's great for a good. Easily five or 6 hours.
Mark can watch.
Are the board games just supplementary then? So you go in, you buy a drink, and you just grab a board, or is it like, it's a fiver for an hour, or a quid a game?
Per hour.
You like book a table, don't you? Reserve a table.
So you pay for the table, and then whatever games are available are what you can just play.
Yeah, but honestly, there's a lot of games, so it's not like you're going, oh, it's not really much, is there? Given that there's.
You need to book for 4 hours just so you could read the instructions.
Mate,
that
is half the problem. Because obviously you book a table.
I've not played this one before. I still don't know how to play Mahjong. Do you know how to play Mahjong?
No,
I don't. Confusing.
Anyway. He's not reading instructions.
Sorry, Rob, I'll let you back in now.
You don't book a table for an hour. You book a table for 5 to 10 hours. You're not just going there for
5 to 10 hours.
Oh yeah, my game doesn't take. You can't play a game in an hour.
Wow. They do kebabs as well.
they do everything.
That's a session.
Very
and
few
half,
people,
that?
By the way, are booking for 10 hours. I'm sure there's plenty that do. But we were there 5 hours, and it was great. We played loads of games, even just your little games that are just not long. I played one. It was a great little game. You got your piece, which was your character, if you like, and it was just a board with squares, lines cut out of it.
You mean Guess Who?
No.
Love Guess Who.
And you basically got square tiles up the side.
Guess Who.
Shut up! All you've got to do is get your opponent to the opposite side, and they've got to get their opponent to the opposite side. And on each turn, you can either move your player, or you can put a piece in to barricade them and stop them from moving forward. And it was just a game of either moving your piece or putting another piece in to stop them.
It was really
What's it called?
I took a picture of it because I wanted to buy it.
Oh, because I was just going to ask a question, actually. I remember it, and it's very vaguely, a board game, and it involved a wall that was built, and you had characters that moved around.
It's called...
You mean the wall?
Corridor.
Corridor?
No, that's not what I'm picturing.
I can't...
They're like sandy-coloured, almost like stone, as in stone that you get houses built out of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Blocks. And I cannot think... And we're talking an old game, so we're talking 80s.
You're not thinking of crossbows and catapults, are you?
Don't think so. There were no...
ancient Egyptian type thing, no?
I don't know. No, I think the wall was just flat. I don't think it was like a pyramid. And then another one where I think your characters carried like a sack on the back.
It's not a game I've ever heard of.
They might have been one of these things that came out one year and then never did anything, but I'd love to try it. Just to satisfy me.
I'll tell you what, it was so well organised as well. I'd go in the entrance, they've got a shop. So you literally just full of games. And I was looking at them going, oh, I like that. You go on the app that they've got inside the treehouse, all alphabetical order, find the game, and it tells you the reference. You go over to the shelves, it's all alphabetically organised with numbers, so you can just literally find the game.
Yeah. That's Mark's day done.
I'm already thinking, what can I do in this game?
I know you said Sheffield, but whereabouts in Sheffield?
Do you know...
Because I've never seen it, so is it down an alleyway or something? Or
no. Do you know, it's like almost like a Chinese area of Sheffield.
Chinatown.
You know when you go...
Called Chinatown?
No.
Shoreham Street?
Oh, it might be. I find it really odd. It's outside of the centre so much as if you're going, it's like the ring road that goes round with roundabout after roundabout after roundabout, and you get to point where you're heading towards Ecclesall Road, the one before that you can turn left there. There's a big Chinese building on corner.
Where the Chinese students stay. They call it Chinatown.
Right. Yeah. So it's there. It literally
drives down there. Investment from the Chinese government for students or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you go down there.
Do you believe me now?
I do believe you. Quick left turn, and Aldi down there, and it's there.
Yeah. It's called the
car park. Bang opposite it, you can stay in the park in the car park. It was good.
I'd love that day. I'd love to go there.
Well, we should book in and do that as well. Not take Mark.
Yeah. What's
your favourite game?
Board game.
Yeah, have you got?
I would say I've got a favourite.
Crib.
You look like
a crib player.
I like crib.
I used to play that with my mum and dad back
crib.
In the day.
Oh, I like playing crib.
I won't say I've got a favourite one, but I like
a favourite.
Favourite. I can't even say it.
It smells good.
Good luck with editing this one, Kirk.
Scattergories, I like that. Nothing.
Scattergories, yeah, I know that one.
Yeah,
how do you play it? Remind me.
I can't remember. I remember enjoying it.
It's different categories, isn't it, that you've got to
scatter.
I also like Pictionary. I quite like that.
No? All right.
Win, lose, or draw.
I know what you mean.
Oh, you're just blank faces.
Sorry.
And there were another one, but I can't remember. It's in a red box.
Is Pictionary the one where you draw?
Yeah. It's a bit like win, lose, or draw. It's a similar thing. But there's another one, but I can't think. Get back to me.
Get back to me.
Yeah.
What's the one called? I think there's numerous variations of this game where you've got to tell your team the name of something, but there's names underneath it that you can't say. Is that Scattergory?
No, I don't know. I always forget
the name of that game, and I think there's
Taboo,
so,
is it?
Taboo.
Oh,
Taboo.
That's
the one.
Clues in the description.
That's the one I like.
Yeah.
Where you've got loads of words you can't say.
There's two sort of different type of... But there's board games like that, which are like wordy draw, right? And then there's board games like Monopoly, which are completely
I'm not a big fan of
things where you're going to be clever.
No, I'm not a big fan of playing games that are too, what's the word I'm looking for?
Pretentious.
No, like you, they're a bit hectic and it's a bit. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Does that give everyone's you anxiety?
Everybody's shouting out, and
trying to, you know, this, you know, drawing and.
So charades, you don't like charades?
No, I don't. I get the fun, and that's absolutely fine, you know. But if I'm playing, I like something that has a bit of strategy, has a bit of
chess,
you know, concentration and focus.
I think that's why I like Cards Against Humanity.
Well, yes.
My daughter likes that.
Don't you like it?
No.
Oh, yes.
We've got
Well, hang on a second. It's funny you should say that. I'll come back in after Mark. Or shall I come in? In fact, I'll
take your chance.
Yeah, I'll take my chance now. So when I were out with Ethan for this drink, we went into the Brewdog bar. Yeah. And they'd got board games in there. And Ethan said, have you ever played this game? Yeah. What's it called again?
Cards Against Humanity. Yeah,
he got them out and went, never seen it. And I showed it and I was like, my eyes were wide open. I was like, all right, it looks fun.
Anyway, oh, it's so great, lad. Yeah.
I struggled to play even that one, Kids Against Maturity.
Open that up. I have never seen this game.
Because it's like a dumbed-down version, obviously, for people that are easily offended.
Yeah.
Just perfect for you then, Mark.
Perfect for me, yeah. It's even got a fridge magnet in it.
So for the benefit
of the tape, he's got this box out. This episode's about
board games. That.
Have you never opened this, Mark, about looks of things?
It don't look like it.
Yes, it has, but it's me that's clearly not put it away. Because if I'd have put it away,
put it away properly.
Anything like this.
So we each get some of them cards.
Yeah, and you're like,
are we actually playing here?
No, well, I was going to tell you what my favourite board game is, and then I saw this one when you were talking about, what's it called again?
Humanity.
Cards Against Humanity.
Cards Against Humanity. And then I thought,
my problem with Cards Against Humanity is I think it's a bit tame.
I know what you mean. However, well,
some of the cards aren't.
The way that my brain works is tame.
There's updated versions that they've brought out.
I know, I've seen Disney ones and stuff.
Yeah. So look at what options you've got,
quite,
Mark.
This is quite silly, this one.
Look at what options you've got.
Yeah,
and then Mark's... No, don't read it out. Okay. No. Mark's going to read a different card.
Yeah.
You've got to pick which one of those cards will most suit.
That's right, I remember it. Because I only played it recently.
Go on then, Mark. Give us it.
Me?
So...
No.
The card is Pretty Please with blank on top. Pretty Please with blank on top.
Right.
Whose idea was it to play this?
Me. just one game, just one. Pick your best one.
Yeah, I've got one.
Want the best one that fits, or the one that's the most unusual?
The funniest, really, is what you're supposed to be playing for.
Right, okay.
Most immature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you receiving the cards?
That's right. Oh,
How would you know?
Yeah, put them all on there and shuffle. And I'll have to shuffle them up, won't I? Yeah. So I don't know. Okay. In fact, Rob, you shuffle them round so that I don't know. Oh, do I put one in? I like that one.
People listening are going, what's happening? They've no idea. Listeners are going, what are these?
I know what mine is, don't I? I'm not going to pick it.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's going to know which is his.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't matter.
No, because you're all... we're going to vote.
All right, okay.
The other rules, you can play cards against as long as you vote.
Pretty Please with blank.
Magic Nose Goblins on top.
Okay, so Pretty Please with...
Fart in a Space Unit on top.
Okay.
Pretty Please with
Nunchucks Made of Corn Cobs on top.
Go on.
Oh, he's sucked Mark off
here. I like that one.
Pretty Please with
My Dog's Lipstick on top. And I'm going to vote, I think... Okay, hands up, my dog's lipstick.
Oh, yeah, we know where you are with that. I think the first one tickled me, but that last one finished me off.
All four got that. Yeah, and what was the one
that's
you
just
like?
Just to show where our brains are, if you want me to be honest.
Well, I'm going to say, is this the kids' version?
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you got some more cards? Let's play another one.
Oh, mate, I've got some more cards.
So who wins that then?
Mine with the nunchucks one.
Mine was the magic nose goblins or whatever it was called. Rob don't know.
Mine was the fart in the space.
So it was yours then, Mark.
Yeah, I know that.
Yes.
I didn't know if I had to declare it. Do I win? What do I win?
Get your cards.
Well, certainly not a chocolate.
Yeah. So
well, there's nothing to win.
You see those dark coloured cards at bottom? Okay. They've got like a sentence or something on them.
Aren't they? Okay. So let's get near Mike so they can hear me. So pick one out then.
Kirk's sat here thinking, I thought this was going to be an easy episode 20.
Now, our listeners don't know what the episode were going to be, but we've...
we didn't know what the episode was going to be.
Right, shall I read it out?
Can I have a couple of cards?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Right, ready?
Yeah.
I love you to the blank and back.
I love you to the blank and back.
Yeah. And do I put one in as well?
You can do, yeah.
Come on, soft.
I already know what your levels are at. See, with this next
what
one.
If I've got crap? What I've got crap ones.
Well, mine were quite crap, but tough. You can only use what you've got.
So, the question or the statement is: I love you to the blank and back.
Okay, so then read up until the blank.
Yeah.
Oh, right, because you're going to... Yeah. It's the first time I've played this, guys. I'm sorry. But you ready? I love you to the...
The dream I had where my dad was Irish river dancing with his shirt off.
I'm back.
I'm back. Yeah, you're meant to sell that, Kirk.
Christ, that's a gobful, isn't it?
That wasn't on my card. He says that.
Oh, right, okay.
And again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love you to the...
Baking brownies.
I'm back.
Oh, that's rubbish.
It's, yeah.
Oh, you wait for me?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I love you to the
awesome sauce.
I'm back. I love you to the
dirt button.
I'm back.
I mean,
that's to be the
there's first, only one. It's the first one, first surely. One. The dream I had where my dad was Irish river dancing with his shirt off.
I'm back.
That's mine.
Is that yours?
Yeah. Yours?
Yeah.
Well done, Rob.
Now, I'll tell you what, one day I'm going to bring the adult version. Or even with an expansion really? Pack
it's here.
Version.
It's here.
That'll have to
it.
Go out as a...
Have you got it here?
Yeah. We'll do...
Not in my presence, thank you.
We'll do an episode on it and then put it out as a special.
Yeah. Adults only.
Surely you play it.
She showed me once and I was like, I can't play that. And she does it just to make me cringe.
Yeah. It's not even that bad.
It's bad.
I don't think it is. Like I say, sometimes I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, I could think of something better than that.
Yeah, I get. Well, you get when you win, you get a blank card, don't you? You can write
on it. Yeah.
My favourite game is that one. Have you played it?
Oh,
Outsmarted.
I bought it for my sister for Christmas.
Did you?
Yeah. I haven't played it, though.
I mean, it's fantastic.
Is it?
And how'd you play it? What's roughly...
So, it's like Trivial Pursuit.
So, shall we just... It's called Outsmarted.
Yeah, it's called Outsmarted. So, well, I've had it... I don't know, 2 or 3 years. So I bought it as part of the Kickstarter when they first were doing it.
Yeah.
And obviously, it was quite early in its it was in its infancy, if you like. It were a finished product, but the way it's developed over time. So it's like Trivial Pursuit in that there's categories, and you go around. You pick one of the characters, and each of the characters is like a legendary person, like Einstein and some other people, Abraham Lincoln and the sorts, and. Yeah, but it's interactive. So what we do is we set the host up onto something connected to the TV.
Yeah.
So the game plays on the TV. And when you click on a category and you choose... So let's say you land on music, a video comes up, like a club. It's a bit of an intro. And it's like you're watching a game show. And then everything's interactive with the screen.
And don't you use your phones?
You can use
your phones as a remote.
That's right. So you can either just use your phone, you can play the board game, you can do both, one or the other. I think it's one of the most ingenious board games that's ever been created.
Really?
And the thing is, because they've got an online shop for game packs, you can just keep adding to your... And you can choose what game packs... You can only, I think, you pick 6 game packs or categories for each game. So you choose, you know, based on the people that's there. You might say, you pick one, you pick one, and you pick one. You can put down if you're a child, a teen, or an adult. So it picks you...
I bought it for my sister for Christmas, and she got it.
Rob, you will love it.
As soon as I got it and wrapped it, I thought, well, I wish I bought this for me now.
Rob, you would love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It does look really good.
You would love it.
Speaking of interactive games, I'll tell you what I've got at my house that's in a drawer that's not been opened since I've had it bought for me. Daisy bought me the
Nightmare.
The update. You're on the
set. Nightmare. Atmosphere.
There you go.
Atmosphere. What a game!
Don't you need a Betamax player?
I know. Well, originally when I had it, we were on VHS.
Hang on. What's this? I've never heard of it.
Well, hold on. Is that what you were getting to?
Getting to what?
You've got it. You've gone it draw, and you've opened the drawer, and there's an interactive game inside, but you've not said what it is.
Atmosphere.
Atmosphere. He just said
it. But that's what he said, not what you said.
Right. Because he said it. Why would I repeat it?
Well, how did I know that he'd said what you were going to say?
Because he went, yes, atmosphere.
I missed that over the... I missed you, Rob.
I'm still struggling to know what this game is about. Let alone name of it. What's it
atmosphere
about?
I originally had it when I was a kid. And like I say, it was on VHS. Yeah. So the board game came with a VHS. So you put the VHS in and play it. And you play along with the...
It were terrifying.
With the character on the screen.
Right.
But it's meant to be obviously very spooky and very, you know... So as a kid, you were petrified. You play it with the lights off.
Oh.
You'd be sat there on the floor playing the game. And there'd be some spooky music coming out at TV or whatever, with a clock ticking, because you only right. have an hour to play. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, this character jump on screen, you! And you,
you'd be like,
And then to make things worse, Scott Lee would come loose, back and TV would go off.
Scott Lee, yeah. Like,
honestly.
So were you answering questions? What were you just sitting there, like, pooing your
it's
pants?
Like, it's
what,
like,
what,
it's
what?
Like a board game that you work around, so you throw the dice and there's different things you do, or when you land on but different...
Did it interact with the TV, or was that just doing its own thing?
That were doing its own thing.
But,
it was a VHS mark.
I know, you couldn't
change anything or do
but
it.
Might, but it might say, like, when it comes on, it might say, you, and like everyone would jump there, you go, the youngest one. Come
that's
here.
That's right, yes.
Come here. And you're meant to get close to the TV, and they might say, you have to go back three places, you know, sort of thing.
So it added to the atmosphere, hence why it's called atmosphere.
I distinctly remembered that game exactly that. There you go.
Never heard of it.
He'd pick one of them, the person who's just about to land on this square. Yeah. Come here. And he'd go, closer. And just you'd be literally at the TV, and he'd go, not that close. And you'd be like,
I was so
it
good.
It was like Nightmare, wasn't it?
I see a problem with that, though. You can only really play it once, can't you? Because you know what's coming up in video.
You can't play too often because tape starts going funny. Yeah. You have to start messing around.
Because you know what's going to come up on tape. You're going to go, oh, he's going to shout it.
I talk about it quite a bit, and Daisy actually bought me the updated version of it. And
is it online now?
Do you know what? I don't know. I literally have not even taken the cellophane off it.
That was a well chosen present then.
We should play it.
I'm guessing that it's not on VHS. But that just reminded me when you said interactive on TV.
That was such a good game, that. What other games? I remember a game, Frustration. You know, the little clicker in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
When we went camping.
You move coloured things, didn't you? Little coloured.
Yeah. Around
like,
the board.
They were like traffic cones with little bubbles on
top.
You jumped
over a player and you put their player in your thing, didn't you? You got to collect all their... To... Yeah, yeah.
And how did that differ from Ludo?
I don't think I'd ever really played Ludo.
No. Ludo, it was just a bit boring. It's just a high-tech version.
They were just like little tokens. Yeah. Coins.
Yeah.
Like Ludo. But the point I was making was we played it when we went camping in a tent. And we pissed all the other people off in the tents next to us going peep peep click 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 for hours, and I just remember someone shouting, will you shut the f- up?
getting a bit frustrating over here.
Go on. Does anybody remember the Game of Life?
Yes.
That were quite
good. The Simpsons Game of Life.
It's just the same game.
Yeah. You've been playing it a lot longer than us, haven't you?
Very clever, yeah.
I played a game.
Mark's nearly completed it.
I played. Oh, good for you, that.
Yeah. That was good. I didn't know you were the funny one, Mark.
I might edit that out.
Yeah. Mark, can you just say this in Rob's voice?
I played a game the other night, which was the board game version of The Traitors.
That was really good.
We got that. Yeah, is it good?
Yeah, really good.
I mean, I've not really got into the TV series, so
I love it. I wouldn't even know.
It's good. Don't say anything. I'm only on episode 2. But how does the board game play? I mean, how does it work on a board game? Because
you've got obviously individual players, and you have some cards where you've got faithful and traitors,
right?
And you shuffle them. And then they're dealt out, and then you look at it so you can see whether you're a faithful or a traitor, if you like. And then they come with these little blindfolds, and you put these blindfolds on, and the traitor then gets a chance to look at their secret mission. So, like, if you're the traitor, you've got on your card, you've got secret missions that match the mission.
Somebody puts the you all put blindfolds on.
I'm really. I've done a really bad job of explaining this.
Yeah, I'm thinking, how's he looking at his cards? He doesn't put his blindfold on, but how do we know which one?
Let me rewind a little bit. The game has six missions, mission packs. So, like, mission 1 to 6, and in each mission, there are 3 tasks or 4 tasks to complete as a team to earn gold.
Okay.
To earn a prize fund. Okay. Yeah. When you get given your traitor, whether you're a traitor or a faithful, on the traitor's card is also some secret missions that go alongside that mission. Yeah, so they're all matched. They all match.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody puts the blindfold on
for
a period of time, 20 seconds, 30 seconds or whatever, and make a bit of a noise. You're meant to make a bit of a noise. The person who's the traitor then takes their blindfold off to look at what their secret mission is for the next task. Put the blindfold back on. Everybody stops. Everyone takes the blindfold off. Nobody knows who's read the card.
Okay. Can't you hear somebody take the blindfold off and pick the card?
No, you literally just lift your blindfold off your face. But hence why you're also so like we were all sat around the table going la 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 la
to distract yourself. Yeah, so
then you perform the task. So the task was, one of the tasks was we all had to stand in a line and somebody had to draw something on the back of somebody, then pass it down to the front. And if the person at the front gets it right, then you won the gold because you were still working as a team.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, for instance, I was the traitor and my secret mission within that was to pretend that it was tickling on my back when I was being drawn on my back.
Ah.
So therefore, when someone was drawing on my back, I was obviously pretending it was tickling. I didn't have to pretend because I do get ticklish on my back.
Yeah.
So, you know, but then if you're not found out, obviously, because someone's always trying to find out whether you're the traitor or not, you then put the blindfolds back on later on and whoever the traitor is gets to pick who they murder and then they lose money out of their gold fund.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Does the game play better than you've described it?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, well, that's good. I might buy it then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It is a good game.
I think that sounds good.
It is a good game.
I do like the sound of that.
Yeah, I do.
It's a little bit of a mixture, you see, of strategy, but also doing stuff. So like we had to build a tower of items and they had to go from narrowest to widest and stuff like that. You've only got like 30 seconds to do it. So you're hunting around the house to try and find stuff to try and stack up and stuff.
We got,
so perhaps we should all play together, shouldn't we?
I played a game this Christmas that I'm pretty confident my sister bought it me, but 4 years ago, 5 years ago, never even took it out of the wrapper. So similar to your game that you kept. And it's called...
Outnumbered.
No. And
you wrapped it back up and you sent it back to her for this Christmas.
Because you meant outsmarted.
Oh, outsmarted. Yeah, outnumbered. Outnumbered. Outnumbered's a TV comedy show, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
The one I'm talking about is called No. And it's a Google game board, basically. Made by Ravensburger, so it's not made by Google. Hence the fact that we've had it that long that when I came to do it, Google have restricted the ability to play games on their devices. I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah. So, but now they've released their own app for it that you have to use. So basically, it's a board game where you just go around the board game and you have different topics that you have to pick. So there's things like guesswork, top hits, phrase finder, know it all, tripped up, sound by sound, which is basically sound by sound, the same as ours. What the bloody hell is that? Up to three and whatever. But all the questions are pretty much live now questions. Things like, how long would it take you to get from where you are to New York if you're walking?
All right.
And so it doesn't there's no answer. There is, there but is, it depends where you are.
Yeah.
So you have to ask Google for the answer.
Right.
So all the questions you get by asking Google for the answer. So they're all live questions. It was really good. You know, like, there's all sorts of different things. I'm not going to bore you with it. But yeah, it was such a good game that I'd had for 4 years. I'm like, yeah. I can't believe I've never played this.
What I play quite a bit are escape rooms. But like board game versions.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So I love escape rooms anyway. I know I've said it on podcasts before that we all need to go and do an escape room. But the board game, if you like, of them are absolutely brilliant. There's a brand called Exit. That's the brand.
Right.
And they've released different ones.
Yeah.
And they're absolutely brilliant.
They've got signs everywhere. Green illuminated signs. Yeah. A white man running out of a door.
I find them really, really intriguing. So again, it comes with an app and the timer on and it gives a bit of background noise while you're doing it. And the idea is obviously, but like they're so clever.
Yeah.
They're so clever. So like, for instance, you're sat there trying to work something out and then it's because you've had to like rip the lid apart and like rip on the underside of the lid to see where, you know, match something up or, you know, you've really got to think, you know, outside the box.
I think there's a franchise called Unlock, isn't there, as well? It's not necessarily a game manufacturer. It's just a series of games called Unlock. They're very similar.
I think these exit games, I think there's about eight. I've done them all.
Have any of you seen that in Sheffield? Seb's wife, Laura, mentioned it the other day. They've done a place where you can go and you can actually play TV game shows.
Yes. Rachel was telling me about that at Christmas.
Yeah.
It's
called Game Show All-Stars something.
Yeah, All-Stars, that's it. Yeah, it's all set up inside.
Like, you like go and play catchphrase and stuff like that.
Really? What, like full TV set. It must
yeah,
be, things.
Yeah. Like sets of a TV, yeah. And you're going, that must be a rate laugh.
Whereabouts is this, so I know, so I can go.
In Sheffield.
I knew you can say that. Any idea what
it's not near a train station. No.
Yeah, you will miss your train.
Oh, good. And what, so we got catchphrase.
I don't know what else.
I don't think the games are actually ones that you've necessarily seen on TV, have they? Some of them might. Oh, no, because I think she said they were countdown.
Well, that's
so
on TV.
Been, yeah, they must be.
So do you go and play with
friends?
Do you
often pay attention when you're having conversations with people, Rob? Yeah.
So do you sit and play with your friends then?
They have hosts and stuff. It's like you're not just in there on your own. There's a host that presents
you're
have the buzzers. Yeah, you stand behind your podium and they do the buzzers. Oh, okay.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Sounds a good idea.
It's a good idea.
I'll tell you something else that I got, which game-like and thingy. It's, what do you call it?
Why don't you tell us?
His brain were working quicker than
he. Oh my god, yeah, it was. Yeah. What do you call something where you?
Is this a joke?
No, it's not a joke. Where you go out and find clues to find your next clue. A treasure hunt. Treasure hunt. But it's live in Sheffield.
Yeah, they do. So
it come in a pack, and you open it up, and you start at the start of the book, and it goes through, and you literally there's clues hidden. In and around Sheffield using street signs and
so is somebody
names.
Hosting this or you just
no it's on a book you buy it right. You get the book and then you literally go through the book at the start point so you walk to the start point
you go to the start point then what
and then it'll give you a clue to where the next place is that you've got to find and you've got to work out
so you're
where
just finding places in Sheffield like go to the train station
what we don't go to the train station
did you used to be a copper
Why? Because I'm inquisitive.
I don't know. It might sound like a place that gets you from A to B, but not using public roads. And you think, train station. So you might go to the train station, but it'll give you a location where you've got
to
try and find.
Where do you not want to go with Mark?
And then...
You're only Doncaster, though, a train station. That's where I end up. But when you get to these places, like on Treasure Hunt, what's her face? Annika Rice. There's not... Yeah. Envelopes stuck behind.
No. So
that's what I was trying to
get to the location, and it'll
there'll be nothing
it'll
happening
say,
there.
And then it might say underneath that you're looking for something, and it might give you the start of it, and it might be a bloody street name or something on the title of the thing that finishes the clue, and you go, it's that, and that leads you to the next thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't done it yet, so I can't really give you much detail.
I don't think I'll be doing it. It doesn't sound that exciting.
I think they do. I'm sure they do crime scene things, don't they, set in cities? Well, they're actually hosted by people.
Well, I looked into one of these ones for work as like a team building thing, and they look absolutely incredible.
Well, York would be good, surely.
They're so expensive.
Are they?
Really?
Because they're done properly. So like,
you've got actors with them.
The ones I was looking into, so there might be like joiner ones that you can go for cheaper, but the ones I was looking into for like a team building event, they came to you. And like, if you've got like a function room or whatever, they'd set it all up as a crime scene or whatever, and then you, as your team of people, work out the crime and do your fingerprints and your and stuff like that. It looks absolutely brilliant. But I think when I was looking into it, I think it was £2,000 for a day.
Wow,
or something like that. So like I say, I don't know whether there's others where you can join on as like a public.
Yeah,
one
I'm sure there were ones in in Sheffield and in cities where they host them and you book to go a lot of time slot, and you must just be like each person would end up visiting each part of the puzzle, if you like, at different times, so they probably would be a bit cheaper than a couple of grand, I would have thought. But
The do any of you like Risk? The board game Risk.
I've only played this a long time ago with my dad, and I've really struggled to understand it because my dad is not the best at explaining instructions of games, and so I didn't really get it. But I saw the potential of how good it could be if the person that told me how to play knew what he was talking about.
Is it a bit like Dungeons and Dragons typey, but more of a political war advancement game?
I get why you would say it. I mean, the answer to that is no. Dungeons and Dragons is something completely different because that's role playing.
Yeah,
I would love to play Dungeons and Dragons.
I would.
Okay. I'd love it.
With someone that knew how to play it properly.
Yeah, absolutely. and people that are all the light frame of mind as well to play it properly.
We should play it and I'll read the instructions, Rob. <Yeah. laughs>
You could just make the team, Mark, for us.
But Risk is, you are right, it's more of a military advancement.
I've not played it, but I thought it was like that.
It's a dice rolling game, so it's all through dice rolling. So, but I love it. I love it. I've got three different versions of it.
I can't say
I only know of the original.
Hold on, sorry, you've never heard of Risk?
No, I don't think I've ever played it.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I've heard of it, I've just never played it.
I'm not playing it with Mark. because it can go on a while. It can labour on one battle for maybe, you know, 15, 20 minutes or whatever. Oh, yeah. So I don't think it's your cup of tea at all, Mark.
I'm not sure it'd be mine. So how does it play out? I mean,
well, you're
rolling dice, but then what happens?
Yeah, so you've got a map.
Yeah.
And there's all different types of maps. So the original, yes, is countries. But I've got, like, for instance, the Game of Thrones version. So it's got all the different places in Game of Thrones and stuff like that. And you have a basic army at first, and you put them armies on territories. You've got territories to own. And at the end of each round, the points that you get depend on what territories you own. And you might have to battle for another piece of territory, and that's done through dice rolls.
Yeah.
And then depending on how many troops you want to sacrifice, depends on how many dice you've got to roll, so it could be 1, 2, or 3, which obviously gives you more chance of winning the more you sacrifice. And then if you basically defeat the other person, you take over that territory, which means at the end of that round you get more points.
That's why you like it, because it's almost a little bit of gambling.
It's a bit of gambling, it's a bit of strategy.
Yeah.
It's, you know, very much okay. So where to try, and then you get a few more troops, and then you build, you know. So yeah, I love it. I mean, it's a very old game.
I would like that. You can't beat the old games as well, like Screwball Scramble and...
Screwball Scramble!
Mouse Hunt.
A what?
Mouse Hunt.
Mouse Trap.
Sorry,
Mouse Trap.
You know what?
Operation.
I had Mouse Trap, right? Yeah. And I used to love playing it.
Kaplunk!
It was a pain in the ass setting up.
Yeah, it was.
You always had to balance off, is it worth it?
Yeah.
Is it worth it? Is
like
it worth
Buckaroo.
It?
Yeah. Trying to say something, we had it going off.
Yeah.
I have got another question, and I'm going to ask it you over the last couple of weeks, to be honest. Over Christmas and New Year, were there out you saw on TV that you'd not seen before? Or a film or out? Is there out that you've...
Yeah, the new Wallace and Gromit film.
Was that any good?
Which was absolutely brilliant.
Was it?
Right. I've never really been overly into them, but I have seen them in the past. Number one, number two, and I think number three. I've probably seen bits of it, but I actually sat and watched this one, and I actually thought it was brilliant.
Clever, innit, how they do it?
It was really good, because they've really brought it up to date. They've modernised it and made it relevant to the time.
Yeah.
Really good.
No, I haven't, mate. All I've been watching is darts this Christmas.
The things that I wanted to bring up were, there were loads of people talking about a film called Carry On with Taron Egerton.
I want to watch that.
Are you getting hyped as the new Die Hard and this, that and the other? I thought it were absolutely dogger.
But is it not? This is on Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I think it, when you said that question, then I was thinking like terrestrial TV and what was on over Christmas.
Yeah, on old analogue TV, showing it in on Channel 3.
To be fair, do any of you still get a TV Times or
not
the one with us on, but a different one?
Yeah,
I still do. And I don't even look at the guide on the TV. I just look at the book instead, because I find that better to look at.
That was on my list to watch. I was quite excited because, like you say, it was quite hyped. I think I struggled to say his name.
Taron Egerton.
I always say Tarragon or something like that. I like him. I think he's a great actor. I think he's done some great films before.
Yeah. I think that's what a lot of people have hung their hat on, because he's done some really good films, hasn't he?
And I must admit, when you messaged saying it were rubbish,
yeah,
I haven't watched it yet. But basically, because of that,
I've seen online some people saying, "Oh yeah, I really enjoyed it," and blah blah. The new Die Hard, and it was Die Hard in an airport and this, that and the other, and I were like, no, they had so many holes in it.
Yeah.
You know, and don't get me wrong, films are going to be far-fetched. There's going to be stuff that you have to have some poetic license, and you have to take your brain out to watch elements. But there were bits you were like, I don't know, it was just a bit too naff,
okay,
if you know what I meant, in places. Jason Bateman played a fantastic baddie. I've never seen him play a serious character before. I've only ever seen him in comedies. But I really bought into his character. I thought he were brilliant. But yeah, I thought it were pants.
Based off the back of what you just said. Sorry.
No,
Matt.
Go on. Yeah, go, you go first. Rob.
Do any of you boys actually enjoy watching any of the old silver screen?
Silver screen?
You know, like your black and white.
Well,
films,
oh, you mean the
old,
classic
old Hollywood,
like Gone with the Wind and stuff like that?
Yeah, not necessarily just a musical, but just old.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yes, I do. Interestingly, you know, I'd said over last year, I said, I'm going to try and watch
A Wonderful Life,
yeah. And it were on telly, and I was like, "Oh, I'm going to watch this." And I started watching it, and I've been watching it for about an hour and a half, and I was like,
what's all the fuss about? Is that what you're going
to
say?
No, well, just like, I'm thinking, when, and then I clicked on it to see how long we're left, and there were about an hour and a half left of it, and I'm like, I ain't got time to watch it. Yeah. I didn't realise it was nearly 3 hours long.
Well, yeah, what's that film, another one? Cleopatra or no, not that.
Ben-Hur?
No.
Ten Commandments?
Ben-He?
No.
No. Ben-Them?
But something around that, it was on New Year's Day, and it's four and a half hours long. You think
it must have been Ben-Hur. That's
it,
long.
It were a right film. I like, just for
are you sure you just didn't miss that bit in corner when it said watch next episode?
No, but like the silver screen and stuff, they seem to be playing more of that now on TV because it doesn't seem to be as readily available on Netflix
and on demand. That's the thing.
Yeah. Mm. So you actually watch because you I can't watch this on them, and you just sat watching it and going, this is amazing. Mm. This is actually amazing. Like the quality. Now, because obviously a lot of the films, they've reprinted them, haven't they, from the negative.
Yep, yep.
And you're like, this is like 4K quality. This is just unreal. Yeah. And the filmmaking that went into it, I'm talking specifically like An American in Paris, Gene Kelly doing big dance routines, and I'm just like, this is entertainment. This is really good.
The only films that stick in my mind like that are from ones that I used to watch with my dad. So the fact of like A Bridge Too Far, A Bridge Over the River Kwai, Guns of Navarone, like that. They're films that I've watched several times and really enjoyed, but obviously way before I were born.
When you were a kid, did you ever get scared of Jason and the Argonauts?
I
used to watch that.
Yeah, they were good films.
I used to watch that. Because like very few films that came on at Christmas, weren't they? And they'd be like the same half a
Jason
dozen
the Golden Fleece. And
I've genuinely never seen any of them.
They were really dark.
I mean, talking about old films, you was asked. I saw, I didn't watch it, but it was on TV with The Wizard of Oz, the original film. Yeah. Now that's an old film. What is it, 1924, something like that? It's an old film. And the quality of it's like, you know, I mean, it's amazing. And then, bizarrely, I'm bearing in mind it's an old film, but it's like 4K quality. And then when you watch news, like somebody's robbed somebody's house and they've got a CCTV picture and it's a grainy image and you're going, well, this is from somebody's CCTV camera and it's a grainy old image and I'm watching Wizard of Oz from 100 years ago. And you're like, have we gone back in time? What's going on here?
Yeah.
But while we're talking about games, has anybody seen or been watching Beast Games on Prime? You know Mr. Beast?
Okay. So don't spoil it for me because I'm really looking forward to watching it because I really like Mr. Beast. I think what he's done and what he's done for the way that he's commercialised what he's done, I think is genius.
It is amazing.
And
go on.
I went to watch it. The reason why I'm saying that, because I just don't want to spoil it, because I realised that it was, they're just putting it on weekly.
Yeah.
So, and I can't stand that. So I'd rather sit and wait till all the episodes are on and then just binge watch it.
Well, I wasn't going to give any away, but thank you. But I mean, obviously, you all know Mr. Beast. You know Mr. Beast now, don't you, Mark? You've heard of him, haven't you?
Yeah, well, you guys have talked about him. And the first time the other day, I'd seen a picture of him. He's getting married, I think, or something.
He's just got engaged, yeah.
Oh, getting engaged. Yeah, well, yeah, so it's the same thing. And I didn't realise how young he were.
Yeah.
When I saw a picture, I was like, Christ, Mr. Beast sounds like... I don't know. I mean,
what is it? He's like 25, isn't he?
I think he's a bit older than 26. That. I don't know.
I know he's not an awful lot older than that. I don't think he's 30 yet.
No, I don't think he's 30. Donaldson is his name, isn't it? Yeah. That's his real name.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, it's on Prime, so it's not a YouTube thing. And it was my son that said, oh, have you seen this? I'd sort of heard about it, and he wants to show it to me. So I said, okay, because it dropped three episodes.
Yes.
And then it's gone to weekly.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I'll put it on, because I'd seen some of the other stuff, because he did Squid Game type thing.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
You know, it's good. But I watched this one again. I'm not giving anything away, but it's like it's really, really, really good because obviously the prize is $5 million.
Yeah,
a 1.8 million private island, a boat, and something else. What he's giving away.
Yeah.
And but what's really good about it, and because Ethan's in this TikTok world of everything's fast. So there's no messing about. There's not like, this is what's coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After break, and then they're not recapping. It's just bang, 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 bang. Yeah. And it's edited really well. You'd appreciate it.
I remember hearing about listening to a podcast
that talked about him getting the deal with Amazon. And that he basically, his condition was, I want an unlimited budget.
They reckon they've given him $700 million.
Yeah, well, this week he completes this. Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I don't want to get... I really want to talk about it because it's amazing. But
we need to go and play Atmosphere on Prime.
But the first episode of it's really brutal. I mean, you look at quiz shows in our country, which are fine, but this is nothing. It's completely different.
I'm going home tonight and watching this.
I'm not
waiting for it all to come out.
I ain't got time to do that anyway.
It's
amazing.
I would sincerely say that before you jump into something like that, watch his Squid Game series first.
Is it his Squid Games?
Yes.
On
his YouTube channel.
On his YouTube channel.
Oh, I think I've seen it.
All right, okay.
Yeah,
Amazon. Obviously, he's taken from the show, so it's not his idea. I get that, but the budget that he's thrown at it is just brilliant. I think the guy is brilliant. I think he's brilliant.
Yeah, he is brilliant. I mean, to be fair, this Beast Games it's very Squiddy Gamey type. It's very similar, and you can see where he's got the elements on. But it's just so clever, and there's so many twists in it. And you're like, I didn't see that coming. And you know, watch it.
I
think if you guys watch it, then we can all talk about it maybe in an episode coming up.
Definitely. Well, just a caveat.
Yeah.
That we were talking about, obviously, Carry On being rubbish.
Oh, yeah.
If you get a chance to watch Black Doves, that's good.
Oh, what's that?
My other half has said this. My other half watched that, and she thinks I'd really like it.
Yeah. It got so far in, and I was thinking it's going a little bit all over. There were a lot playing out in it, and I was like thinking, but we had left it a while between a couple of the episodes and that didn't help, but the way it rounded off at the end, I was like, that's clever.
Is this a drama or film, Mark?
A drama.
Okay.
Six episodes, Netflix.
English, American?
English.
Okay.
Sarah Lancashire plays like one of the lead characters, Keira Knightley's in it. Really good.
Has anyone watched any of the darts this over Christmas?
I watched that young boy. Will.
That's something different, that, Rob.
Oh, right. Yeah, I watched a young lad, and I think he won.
Luke Littler.
Yeah,
Luke
he won Littler. Championships, didn't he, or something?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think it's been a great...
used to be even littler.
Yeah.
I don't watch darts religiously, but I do like to watch the World Championships every year, and the fact that it's on over Christmas and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what a talent he is. But I did have a question about darts in general. The more I watched it, the more this question played on my mind.
Yeah. And I know where you're going with this, I think.
Do you?
I think so.
Well,
are you asking us that?
I suppose there isn't an actual answer. It's just something that once it got into my head, I was very
much like... You can't let go
of it. I was very much like... I'm fine.
Try us.
Most sports...
It is the same question.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah.
Is it about the number of things you have to win?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
We've got two questions.
I'm going to say me and Rob are looking at each other. We don't know what's happening.
Mine's a bit more, like I said, you know, irrelevant, I suppose, because it makes it out as
I'm dying to know what this is. Come on.
People are rubbish, but they're not. A lot of sports, obviously, you play them and it involves either other people, yeah, so...
Team sports, football, whatever.
Or it can the environment that you're in, things can affect the way you play. So like golf, for instance, you're on your own, but yet you've got wind, you've got rain, you know, this, that, other.
Yep.
Whereas darts is the same size board with the same tools and the same length of the hockey. So you're the same distance
repetition,
away from it.
As in same all time, yeah.
So everything's the same about it. Mm. These people are obviously highly gifted sports people, okay? Why, after all these years, if everything's the same, and a lot of darts is down to muscle memory and stuff like that, why are they not just hitting the treble 20 every single time? Because there's nothing else affecting it.
Yeah, it's not spinning.
There's nothing else affecting it. There's not as if they're throwing it and all of a sudden a gust of wind is coming by, or, you know, that somebody else is waving their hands in front of it and you're trying to get past them or whatever. It's the same length, same distance. I suppose a scientist would go, well, yeah, if you throw it exactly like that every time, it's going to go there.
Well, you could say that about snooker.
Well, no, because you're playing somebody else. Well, no,
they're moving the balls around.
Yeah, it's like moving the number.
If you're breaking off the first break, every time you break off, your cue ball should land in exactly the same spot.
If you wanted it to.
Yeah, if you wanted it to. But they don't.
But they could change the position.
Dots, the last guy's dots, doesn't matter. Where they land doesn't change it.
I understand that. What I'm saying is, if you're the person who's breaking off in snooker and you've played it all these years, nothing affects the way that you break off.
No.
But you break off differently from time to time.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get it right up against the ball cushion, or you get it tight up behind the green or the brown or whatever, just to make it more difficult. But sometimes they'll do a break off and the ball won't come far enough back. And you're like, well, that was a rubbish break. So I think it's the same thing. It's the human
element. That argument would be more like saying, it'd be like the opposite person playing you in darts. On a wall, you'd have five darts with different weights of darts and the other person picks your next dart.
I do get where Mark's coming from. The fact that a break off, the table's the same, the cue ball's the same,
it's just you that's playing.
And stuff like that, and it's just you that's playing. I get that. But the difference is for me is the fact that a snooker player might choose to play it differently for starters, but depending on who they're playing against.
Yeah.
But for two, that's one shot of many shots. For instance, they might only break off 14 times throughout an entire match, maybe even seven. Whereas we're talking about the same action time and time and time and time and time and time and time again. Always.
So what you're saying is these darts players aren't good enough.
Well, that's what I said. the question makes it seem like darts players are rubbish, and I'm far from it.
What you're saying is nothing that the other person does has any
effect.
And that's why I think in darts generally, the camaraderie between the players is really positive. They hug each other after a leg or a set, whatever.
Nine times out of ten, they're not doing anything
to scupper each other.
Half of them are hammered a bit time they're finished, aren't they?
they're trying to drink water, but they're only effectively playing against themselves, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny that question you've just said. That's sort of something I would normally say.
Is.
That's not something I would normally say. Yes, I don't get this. Why? But it's right. It's a good question.
Sure. Yeah. Let me ask my question then.
Go on then.
Yeah. Cool.
Why in darts? And it's the only sport I've come across where, when it's the scoring, it's the first to. Whereas in snooker or tennis, it's the best of.
Mm. Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
The result's the same. It's the best of, or it's the first. The number's the same. Mm. But why do they call it? When really, they all should be first to. Because if somebody says, oh yeah, snooker world final, it's the best of 35. First thing you got to do, bit of math. Oh yeah. What's more than? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you'll know that it's,
Yeah.
But
yeah, fair comment.
Yeah.
The biggest skill of...
Oh, do we need to
write
darts, to about
in
that?
In darts, it was the first to seven to win.
Yeah.
Whereas if that was in...
Snooker,
it'd be best of 13.
Yeah.
The biggest skill of snooker... The biggest skill of darts is not being able to throw the dart into the board. It's working out the bastard maths.
I don't know.
When you get back to the...
I don't know how they do it so quick.
It's just... Yeah. I'm watching and I go...
Yeah.
Is he going to work out what he now needs to
get? Does he not tell him on the board? Does he not tell him on the board?
He tells him what's left.
Yeah.
Oh. He tells him what's left, so that's fine. But the thing is...
They've got to work out their next series of darts to make sure that they're in a good position for the next series of darts.
But absolutely. But for me, it's that more that fact that they throw a dart and it lands in not in where they want
it to be. Yeah, they've got to replace it.
And they literally throw the next dart straight away and you go... How did you work that maths out?
I know some of it is patterns. I get that. When they've played it for so long, they know that if there's 63 left, they do, and then if there's 50 left, they know it's bull. I know it's patterns, but I did actually have that same thought process the other day.
Yeah.
Same as I also had a thought of, the display on the TV, what shows you the scores and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. How does that do it so quick?
Yeah.
I imagine that's a person.
I don't think it is. Do you think it's digitally in the board?
I think it must be digitally in the board.
Because literally, I get what you're saying, Robin. At first, I thought, it'd be someone sat in a studio somewhere just pressing the buttons. Yeah. But how quick it happens, nobody can press the buttons that quick.
Exactly. Plus, if they pressed it and it's not, they go, oh no, it's not in one, it's in 20.
Yeah.
They might get it wrong. But I come to the conclusion
that I reckon it must be something in the board that's censoring what the score is, so it instantly takes off.
It is quick, though, isn't it?
Maybe.
A question then. So, did he win it quite easily, this Luke?
Yes, he did. I mean, listen, the guy's incredible. He is incredible.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything since Phil Taylor. And the fact that he's 17, and the fact that this year, I mean, he was finalist of the World Championships last year when he was 16, and he were unranked, weren't he? Where his debut, which was practically unheard of for him to get to the final. But then this year, he's won the Premier League. Won the Grand Slam.
He plays football.
He's won the Series Masters or whatever it is. And then to finish it off, and literally he was playing what could arguably be classed as one of the greatest players, Michael van Gerwen, in the final. And he beat him 7-3. At one point, he was 4-0 up.
He's been on Bullseye.
Yeah, I saw him on Bullseye. Three darts, treble 20, yeah, boom, 20. Boom, boom, yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
And he was like, no, sweaty.
What gets me, I feel sorry for all the kids around him. Well, not the kids, the parents around Luke Littler's dad. They've like been taking the kid to football, stood out in all weathers to watch him play five-a-side and whatever football, to whatever poorer standard, never been, you know, wet, rainy, cold, never comes to anything. His dad gets to take him down to a pub for 10 years. Yeah. And he ends up with being a millionaire. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Just from being in pub, playing darts.
So Mark, can I just ask about this Luke? So this is his first title, he's won, isn't it?
First world title.
And the other guy, what's his name? Phil Power Taylor or something? How many times has he won it?
14.
14. Continuous or...
No. There were quite a few continuous, but I don't know what that number is.
But he's won it 14 times. So do you think this Luke then... I know he's young, but does he need to like win it more times than him to be better than him, do you think?
I would say that's probably the obvious measure. I mean, you could measure it on how many major titles and how much, a lot of measures are done how much prize money you win is pretty much, right, but okay. Obviously times are different now to that.
Yeah.
But I think that's how it would be measured, little bit like Formula One. That people say that Lewis Hamilton is the greatest of all time, but that won't be stamped in history properly until he's got one more title, because then he'll have been the person that's won the title the most. And I think that'll be the same with darts.
Okay.
And you'll always have the people arguing, won't you, that the technology is different then.
Yeah,
to then
you're always going to get
darts,
that.
Probably not so much.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Speaking of games, shall we play ours?
We've been waiting to do that.
We've been waiting all night.
Robin, his tedious links.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh,
oh, I'm just so excited.
Come on.
He's nearly there.
The Wheel of Features.
So last week then we did AI Jukebox Jam. So I'll give it you again so you know. So the song expresses heartfelt love and gratitude through a simple, sincere gift. A song. I think you thought you knew what it was.
I put it this way, if it's not what I think it is, then you're wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it Saving Private Ryan?
It's a song, but yeah.
I know.
What did you second then, Kirk?
Well, I'm waiting because I know I'm right.
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, what do you think it is, Mark?
I've no idea. I'm rubbish at this.
You can't get that.
Is this a song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably the easiest one he's ever done.
Do you know what it is, Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
I think everyone does.
Apart from Mark.
I don't know.
Read him again.
The song expresses heartfelt love and gratitude through a simple, sincere gift, a song.
And you can tell everybody, this is your song.
Elton John.
It may be quite simple, but...
I'll say Elton John.
Well done, Kurt. You all right? Did you get that, Mark?
Yeah,
well done.
See, I'm not very good at this cryptic clue thing.
No, obviously.
I'm not.
Right, shall we spin the wheel?
Spin it.
Oh.
Here we go.
What's it going to be? Which one?
Plot puzzle!
Yay. Plot puzzle!
Hey!
Five words, one answer.
Ghostbusters, what do you want?
You can't handle the truth!
I'll be back.
Plot puzzle.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
So this is obviously, I've asked AI to describe a film in five words. And it is five words. We're going back to the proper rules. So the words are whispers, shadows, secrets, seeing, beyond. So that's whispers, shadows, secrets, seeing, beyond.
What was that second word from last?
Seeing.
Seeing.
Yeah, I think I know.
Seeing.
Seeing, as in with seeing, your eyes.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Say it again.
Whispers.
Yeah.
Shadows.
Yes.
Secrets.
Yeah.
Seeing, beyond.
Ooh.
Beyond.
So they're five words.
I think I know what it is.
Yeah, I've got one in my head, but I'm thinking about some more. But anyway, we'll save that for next week.
We can't. We will save it for next week. Just before we go, guys, because I'll be shot if I don't. I need to give a shout out to two people at work.
Okay.
Because they keep going on and on and on about them. They've listened to the podcast. They think it's great. Thank you very much.
Are they paying us any money for this show?
They're not paying us any money for the shout out. But a big shout out to Jess and Lauren at work. Thanks for listening, as with everyone, but I promised them a shout out. So okay.
Thanks for listening.
Go. Yeah, thank you.
Well, interestingly, and I feel really guilty because I was going to do a shout out earlier. And
Are they paid?
No, they've not even asked for a shout out.
Oh, right, okay.
No.
Okay.
But they keep dropping the odd message on our socials and letting us know they're listening. It's a kid I used to go to school with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, called Simon Fitzgerald, or Fitzy, as I used to call him.
Oh, Fitzy, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for listening, Simon. Really appreciate it. And I know you didn't ask for a shout out, but you were going to win it. You're getting one anyway.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, on that note.
Have you got any. On that, before you go, have you got anybody to give
shout
out?
No, I haven't. On that note. See you next week.
Spin the wheel.
See you later.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you. And we'll see you next week.